Radio with Phil Dobby.
Well, what about a $1 billion fine just for copying the iPhone and the iPad? That's how much Samsung are having to pay in the United States. And it's wiped $12 billion off the value of Samsung on the share market. And guess what? It could be more as it spreads to other countries and also further lawsuits in the United States. So for the lowdown on what's happening, here's technology writer Still Garin. He joins us on Skype from somewhere in the United States. Still Garin, this is a first slug of money that they're being asked to pay out, isn't it?
Well, when you consider that Samsung has sold millions upon millions of these devices, nowhere near as many millions as Apple has sold iPhones and iPads, I should say. But look, yeah, when I look at this, it's a curious one because there was really quite a complicated process where, and I should say this is an American court. This battle of Apple suing Samsung is happening in many countries around the world, including Australia, and the Australian one is still going. And we probably won't get an answer on the Australian one until the middle of next year, the judge has warned.
Right.
This comes down to, so many design features, which, you know, Apple is pointing to. Everything from the way icons look to, you know, the grid of icons on the home screen and so on. That at one level you can say, all right, they're design features that Apple has used and they're very distinctive when you look at them on the iPhone. But at the other time I look at this and think, well, if you were designing a car today, you wouldn't try and make the steering wheel a different shape to avoid, you know, a copyright suit or, being sued by someone else. I mean, that's just the way that you do things. But then I did a bit of talking around amongst friends who know this kind of thing because, you know, they're lawyers. And they said that a similar thing happened in the early days of the car industry and in the early days of the aviation industry, that while they were still developing how you would control cars or control aircraft.
Right. So they were there going, hang on a second, wings, they were our idea.
Well, maybe
you can build a plane, but you can't put wings on it.
Wings. But there was a fundamental one between the Wright brothers and another aircraft company whose name entirely escapes me, because the Wright brothers invented the idea of controlling the tilt of the plane by slightly twisting the wingtips one way or the other, slightly flexible wings. And another company had the idea of having a hinged thing rather than twisting the whole wing. They have a hinged section, and they became what are called ailerons today.
Right.
And there was a huge battle between whether this was going to be the right way of doing things, said the Wright brothers, and in the end, the idea of twisting the wings didn't last because we wanted to have bigger and heavier aircraft, and there was a difficulty making something strong enough and flexible enough as the size and speed of aircraft grew. But to come back to the topic at hand, there was a battle between companies about this sort of thing. Mm. Now, I kind of with mobile devices and things like the smartphone, we're less than 10 years. We're only about 5 years into the global smartphone, pocket-sized smart device revolution. So two things are happening. One is that we're developing new ways of interacting with them, whether it be how the icons look and behave or whether we swipe the screen or so on. And the other one is there's huge amounts of money at stake. I mean, Apple, I think iPad sales are up around the 35 million mark or something like that. And Apple is, of course, as of the other week, the richest company in the history of planet Earth.
Yeah.
And when you start throwing around this kind of money, well, obviously, everyone wants to get a piece of the action. And these kind of patent battles between corporations are absolutely normal. It's just that when you're dealing with Apple, the richest corporation and indeed the largest, you know, American manufacturer of technology, and then Samsung, which is the largest electronics company on the world, because as well as phones and computers, they sell everything from, you know, air conditioners to toasters to, you know, you name it.
Yeah.
And they're the largest Korean country. So you don't just have a bunch of rich men fighting over who can make themselves even richer. you actually get national pride coming into it as well.
And it's also a question of where you draw the line, don't you? Because on the one side, you know, there's the idea of taking an idea and improving on it so that technology moves forwards. And if we don't have that because everyone's crying copyright, then we've got a real problem because only one company moves forward, whereas, you know, we like competition and we'd like to have several people working on expanding on an idea. But on the other side, if you look at the Samsung phone, the latest Samsung phone, and you put it side by side with an iPhone, I mean, the Samsung one has got a bigger screen, and it's got the word Samsung on it, which helps you separate the two out. But the, as you mentioned before, the icons, the dots at the bottom of the screen that shows how many screens you've got to wipe on, the four icons at the bottom that you use regularly, I mean, they're there on both phones. So, I mean, I'm looking and thinking, you know, there's you've got to have some element of your own design in there. Weren't they just asking for trouble because it was so close to the iPhone?
Well, quite possibly. And that's where you get down to the arguments. And in this case, the jury decided that, well, you know, that it's too close. And I've just been looking up how the jury had to decide this. The court gave them like a grid listing all of these Samsung Samsung products and all of these particular design features and all of the companies. And it was like, mark yes or no, whether you think that's too close and how much, you know, and the jury had to agree. And then it was, how much do you think that is worth in dollar terms? And then you don't just have compensatory damages, you have punitive damages as well. So one is, okay, we need to compensate Apple for, you know, lost sales or whatever. And then you also have to punish the bad guy, in this case, Samsung. Now, I can see this one obviously being appealed to the highest court in the land in America because there's so much money at stake. But there was another interesting angle that I saw too, apart from just your, you know, finding that balance between how fast should technology advance, how long should you have the rights to exclusively exploit a piece of new technology or design that you are responsible for. The other one is someone pointed out that this could actually be $1 billion of marketing money well spent for Samsung, because he was in a a shop, an electronic shop somewhere in the US, and noticed that Samsung also made laptops. He was thinking of buying one of Apple's MacBook Pros or a MacBook Air. And then he noticed, hang on, Samsung make laptops as well, and they're cheaper. And he'd become aware of the name Samsung because of all this media coverage, and therefore went, well, that's cheaper, I'm going to buy that instead.
Yeah.
And, you know, that guy in that one shop is not going to be the only guy on the planet to start thinking this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's good, isn't it? I mean, maybe they should start an advertising campaign saying, Samsung, just like the iPhone, only a little bit cheaper. The High Court of America says so. I mean, what a great endorsement that could be. It's interesting, though, that they haven't had the products banned. I'm curious about this. I mean, they have to pay damages, but my understanding is they can keep selling them. How does that work?
That's up to the court to decide whether it's so bad they should be banned. And I mean, that's when you get into the kind of differences of style of courts in different parts of the world. Now, the Samsung Galaxy Tab 10 was, in fact, banned from sale for a while in Australia just before Christmas last year. And Samsung said, hang on, that is unfair. We should still be able to sell them. And if the court decides that we were copying Apple, well, we will, of course, have to pay damages. But it's too unfair, if you like, for us to have the products off the market entirely. And the High Court of Australia eventually agreed with that. And it was only a couple of weeks before Christmas that Samsung got permission to sell the product after all. And, within an hour of the ban being lifted in the High Court, they could get radio and TV ads going. They were ready for them to go. They had them in boxes of them in stores around Australia, ready to take off and put on the shelves for Christmas sales. It is a curious one, and I can see it being appealed. But then there's another whole counter suit of Samsung is suing Apple, and that one is still to unfold. That one is because the iPhone and the iPad use 3G telephone technology, as does every smartphone on the planet. And some of the key chips and so on to implement that technology was developed by Samsung. So the way the telephone industry works, as you would well know through that wonderful podcast of yours, Mr. Dobby, which is called
Twisted Wire Thursdays on ZDNet.com. That's ZDNet.com.
Stilgarium.com. Back to Stilgarium.
It's just like, oh dear. We'll be doing product demos. The deal, the International Telecommunications Union, the ITU, which is part of the United Nations, has a kind of arrangement whereby if they develop and agree upon a technology, because, of course, to get all of these phones working globally, it kind of helps if they all talk the same technical language.
Yeah.
And then once they've agreed, and someone like, in this case, Samsung, says, well, if you're going to implement that technical standard, you have to use some of this technology which we developed, Samsung has to make that available to all of the players at a fair and reasonable price. It's called the FRAND rule, F-R-A-N-D. Now, Samsung is suing Apple because Apple has not yet paid Samsung for the use of that technology in some models of the iPhone. And Apple is saying Samsung is asking too much, and Samsung is saying, well, all of the other manufacturers, Nokia, HTC, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, they all think it's reasonable and they've paid, so how about you pay up, Apple?
Right.
So it could well come back the other way with that decision, with 43 million iPhones sold and I don't know, a $20 license fee for each one. I don't know what the number is that the others pay. That's all commercial in confidence. But, you know, it could well be that Apple has to pay some of this money back. But as I say, it's all going to be appealed. I mean, they'd be idiots not to appeal this decision to the, you know, the next court up the chain.
Yeah. What I'd like to see with the Samsung tablet devices is, if you drop them on the floor, does the screen smash just like it does with an iPad? I mean, in which case Apple would be able to say, hey, look, you know, you've got that same smashes really easily approach that we've taken with our devices.
Well let's have a look. Here's a Samsung Galaxy S3.
What's it like?
I'd already dropped it and cracked the screen once before. So.
Here's one already done.
It's glass, Phil. I mean, we're making these things out of glass. Whose idiot idea was that?
I don't know. Particularly when they're very attractive to 3-year-old daughters who seem to like using them just above concrete surfaces, which was my experience this week again. But anyway, final question, and this is the elephant in the room as far as I'm concerned. I mean, Samsung uses Android as an operating system.
Correct.
So isn't most of the copying actually being done on the operating system, in which case shouldn't Google have to pay damages?
Look, it depends how much of that visual appearance of the interface is Samsung's and how much is Google's. Now, I've seen other companies' mobile phones using those later versions of Android, and some elements are similar, but they're different from how Samsung does it. It's a bit like layers. I mean, the Android operating system provides the basic functionality, and then you build your interface on top of that. And all of the mobile phone manufacturers like to do their own, you know, little tweaks and what they believe are improvements to it to kind of provide a brand identity for them.
But there must be some base elements in terms of behavior which are determined by the operating system.
Exactly. Now, I happen not personally to be fully au fait with exactly how much of that is Samsung and how much of that is Google's Android system. But yes, it does raise an interesting question. Or maybe Apple doesn't go at Google. Maybe Apple goes then at the other manufacturers, HTC and Nokia hasn't been playing with Android yet.
Mm. They won't need to, soon they won't need to sell iPhones. They'll just design an iPhone, not actually sell it, and just sue everyone else who does. It's it's a good future for them. So I think the message here is very clear, Stilgarian. Look, if you young children listening at the moment, the message is very clear. Study law.
Yes, that certainly is the message in this one, because as we all know, the lawyers win no matter what.
Absolutely. Good to talk, Stilgarian. Have a good time in San Francisco.
My pleasure, Phil.
See you back here in Aussie land next week.
Part
of a world tour. All right.
it kind of is.
All right, we'll talk to you somewhere more exciting. We'll try and guess next week. Good to talk, Stilgarian.
And you.